Hello, welcome to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. I'm Dave Jeffrey, and with me today is Lynn Perrott. Hi, Lynn. How are you going?
Hello there, Dave. I'm going quite well, thanks.
How's Newcastle these days?
Oh, pretty good. I saw something quite interesting a few days ago, a comedy concert with three well-known celebrities, Tony Barber, Max Gillies, and John Howard from the television show Sea Change.
Oh, they would have been fabulous. Yeah. Look, I read a little bit about that. I believe it's very, very funny.
Yes, and it's entitled Senior Moments 2. So it's quite applicable to this program. 90 minutes, and they had skits of different types with people dressed in all sorts of costumes.
Now, 90 minutes, I reckon that's about all I could last sitting in the audience. I think 90 minutes is probably a good length of time for us old ones.
Yes, well, that's what they actually said to us too.
Young ones like you are to be a bit too short, I should think.
No, it was all right.
Now, tell me, do they think there'll be a Senior Moments 3? Been popular, hasn't it?
I think it could be. It's been going right around the country.
Excellent, excellent, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. Okay, well, we'll hear from you in just a moment. In today's program, we're going to have a look at Peter Russell Clark at aged 84, and he's still going strong. Here's a good one, how to tune up your brain. And getting a loan. Now, look, the banks, they've had a bit of a caning lately, but we've got this advice on how to get a loan, and it says, don't let the banks push you around. And there's a new screening device for Parkinson's. Okay, let's get underway. Over to you, Lynn.
A loan is not a life sentence. This article from the Newcastle Herald, special edition, Forever Young, summer 2019. The email header was irresistible, bank madness, and madness was the perfect term for it. The writer, I'll call him Barry, has spent much of his life working in the banking industry and is well aware of how the system works. He lives in a Queensland coastal town, and in 2016, due to a change of jobs that required relocation, rented out the family home for his three-year period of tenure. Given his home was to become an investment property for a few years, he negotiated a change in his home loan from principal and interest to interest only, with a three-year fixed rate. The deal was that interest would be payable annually in advance, and it would be renegotiated at the end of the three-year interest-only term. The total loan was for $250,000, and it was with one of the major banks. At the time, Barry was 61. He noticed that the loan had been written on a 30-year term, but he said he didn't make a fuss about it at the time because the other term suited him. This all happened 3 years ago. Now Barry is back in his original home and has been making his payments without fail. When the three-year term came up last month, he went to the bank to discuss moving the loan to a variable rate so he could start to make headway in the loan and hopefully have it paid off when he retired. Not so, said the bank. You've got a 30-year term with 27 years to run, and that's the way it's going to stay. As an old banker, he was stunned and asked the obvious question, why would you want to lock me into a loan that can't be paid back until I'm 91? He tells me that his words fell on deaf ears. So he approached the Financial Ombudsman Service, hoping that they could convince the bank to change its stance. Luckily, the process was quick. Within a fortnight, the bank had backed down and offered to change the terms of the loan to a variable rate, which would enable him to pay it off as needed. But they obviously weren't happy about it and warned him that he would almost certainly be liable for mortgage insurance. He was amazed. Why would a bank that was happy to roll over a loan until the borrower was 91 without asking for mortgage insurance now look for it just because the loan was to be moved to a variable rate? In any event, he reckons his house would be worth at least $350,000, which means the loan-to-valuation ratio would be no more than 70%. comfortably under the 80% threshold over which mortgage insurance is required. What's more, Barry has plenty of money in super and could quickly withdraw a few thousand dollars to reduce the debt if the bank decided to push the mortgage insurance line. All the banks received a pasting during the Royal Commission, and the media is now reporting that hundreds of millions of dollars are to be spent on remediation, plus sharing a plethora of motherhood statements from bank executives telling us how much their culture has changed. That might be fine in theory, but as the above example shows, simple common sense is still way down their list of priorities. I reckon we need a return to the good old days when the friendly local bank manager had both the authority and the common sense to make decisions. And those comments were by Noel Whittaker, the author of Making Money Made Simple. Noel at noelwhittaker.com.au.
Lynn, thanks very much for that. Now we're going to look at Tune Up Your Brain Cells. This is from the Telegraph on the 1st of August last year. But I think tuning up your brain cells, hopefully it's a timely occupation. Light, portable and relatively cheap, the ukulele is proving the musical instrument of choice for many seniors. Going for her weekly supermarket shopping, Val Wagstaff's eyes were caught by a rather unusual item on the shelf. It was a ukulele. Val said, "I kept looking at them, and I thought that would be really great to learn. So I just grabbed one," the 78-year-old explains. The next step was for Val to find someone to teach her how to play the musical instrument. She found that person at the local seniors' club. Classes attracted around 20 participants, aged from their mid-60s to their 80s. Now, just putting a reader's note in here, this was in Perth in Western Australia, but it says there are plenty of ukulele clubs around wherever you might be. Val said, "I've learnt a lot about how important this part of our lives is for the older community. People come up to me at the end of the class, they thank me quite sincerely. And you realise that you actually have made a really positive impact on their lives." The attraction of the ukulele for seniors has much to do with its accessibility. A good quality instrument costs as little as $100. It's portable. Even those with arthritis can hold it. It's like a cello or a violin. It's relatively straightforward to learn as well. It doesn't mean to say that mastering the ukulele is easy. Val said, "I struggled at the start and I thought, well, I'm not going to be able to do this. But I had no clue at all how to play an instrument like that. To be able to coordinate my hands and sing and change chords, it would have taken a good 6 months before I really started to understand it. When I did, it was absolutely wonderful. But getting to grips with the ukulele requires more than physical prowess. There's a bit of brain power needed as well. I also have physical as well as mental exercise that I go through the beginning of each session." She said, "The right side of the brain controls the left hand, which is controlling the chords. Conversely, the left side of the brain controls the right hand, which is strumming. You have to be able to coordinate both of these actions. Don't think that you can know that in a week. I tell the students that in 5 years' time they'll still be learning, but it's a wonderful challenge. It's the warmest feeling that you can get watching people know that they can be good at something and know that they are improving." And that item there called Tune Up Your Brain Cells was taken from the Sydney Telegraph in August last year. And it says, light, portable, relatively cheap, the ukulele is proving the musical instrument of choice for many seniors. So there you are. Ukulele, it's good for the brain. You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network. Back to you, Lynn.
Well, Dave, this is an interesting article entitled Talent, Wit and Grit Add Spice to a Rich Life. And this is from the Seniors newspaper of January 27th, 2020. Long before our screens were filled with celebrity chefs and tearful contestants fretting over Bum Alaska, there was a friendly, bearded Aussie bloke known as Peter G'day Russell G'day Clark. The 1980s series Come and Get It was a favourite in living rooms all around the country, but cooking is just one of the many strings to the bow of the cheeky bearded chef. His career accomplishments are almost too many to mention, but his early life, after his parents split, included stints in foster homes and as a street kid. Born in 1935, his father was a priest with the High Church of England and his mother was a dress designer. As a kid, he said, "I was interested in reading comics and eating chocolate and generally being a bloody nuisance. I remember all the deadbeats, of which I was one, would go up to the Queen Victoria Hospital. There was a brick wall there, a furnace. We'd line up to get a good spot. It was lovely and warm. You would go through the bins behind the restaurants. The thing about lots of wealthy people is they only eat half their meals. My favourite was the Florentino on Bourke Street. It made me appreciate food." At this point, black humour kicks in. "I used to critique the food, you know. If I thought the asparagus was a bit overdone, I'd leave them a little note." He tells this story without a hint of self-pity, but adds, "The only person who's going to look after you is you." He eventually worked his way up from messenger boy to commercial artist and later political cartoonist and TV writer. "But then I realised the person in front of the camera got a lot more money than the poor bugger behind the camera," he said. To this day, he's a passionate advocate for healthy eating and Australian produce. He has been married to his wife Jan for 58 years. The couple has survived many adventures and misadventures, including when their house burned down in 2012. These days, he makes his living from painting commissions and lives in Victoria. He has clients all over the world. "I like each painting to have a story. If you look out the window at a beautiful view, you might look at it, but you don't see it. It's the same with the painting. You might look at it, but you don't come back to it, unless it has an intriguing story." And that article was about the life of Aussie chef Peter Russell Clark.
Lynn, thanks. That was interesting. I certainly remember Peter Russell Clark. I like his comment there. Yes. The only person that looks after you is yourself.
I think he'd be quite a tough character.
And character too, I think, yes, is the word. He seemed a really nice fellow. Yes. But yeah, interesting early life there, wasn't it?
Certainly it was.
Yeah. Okay, we're going from that to unclaimed money. It could be yours. This is taken from the Senior newspaper in January this year. Millions of dollars are waiting to be claimed throughout Revenue New South Wales. In fact, more than $420 million is there in forgotten money. It's sitting with Revenue New South Wales, including shares, dividends, trust accounts, refunds, commissions, deceased estates, and money from a range of other sources. Finance Minister Damien Tudelhope said, "This isn't government money, it's your money. So we are encouraging everyone to check whether any money can be claimed back by them." Revenue New South Wales holds more than a million unclaimed items from private companies. There's also state trustees, local councils, government agencies. These cannot be returned to the owner because their contact details are out of date. They cannot be tracked down. Okay, checking whether you have unclaimed money is quick and it's easy. Simply visit the Revenue New South Wales website, type your name into it and the free search tool, and I'll come back in a moment and tell us how to do it. Okay, what you do, you go to www.revenue.newsouthwales.gov.au. Then you click on Search for Unclaimed Money. It's as simple as that. I'll say it again. revenue.newsouthwales.gov.au and click on Search for Unclaimed Money. Then we could have millions in, well, not millions in my case, but we could have money in there, so we should all check it.
We certainly should. I know I did years ago.
Any luck?
No, I don't think so. No.
someone like me probably would, you know. You'd be more astute, I reckon, and on the ball. I'm pretty slack. I'm going to check it.
Not financially, no.
All right, what have we got next?
Well, this is a story about Parkinson's screening. And the article is Parkinson's Screening, A Step Closer, from the Senior newspaper of January 27th, 2020. Screening technology to catch Parkinson's disease in its earliest stages could be available within 3 years. Pioneering technology developed by Victoria's RMIT University analyses the results of specialised drawing and writing tasks to differentiate between people with and without the condition. The new tool can spot the disease when there are no obvious symptoms and can also be used to monitor Parkinson's patients after diagnosis to better manage their condition. A research agreement between the university and startup company Jesse Medical gives the company exclusive rights to commercialise the technology and will enable further patient trials. More than 80,000 people in Australia are estimated to be living with Parkinson's disease, and many treatment options are only effective when the condition is caught early. By the time patients show any commonly recognisable symptoms, many nerve cells in the brain have already suffered irreversible damage. Researcher Professor Dinesh Kumar said giving medical professionals the tools to screen for the disease would enable patients to receive treatment far earlier than ever before. Early detection is critical because we know that by the time someone starts to experience tremors or rigidity, it may already be too late for medication to be effective, he said. It's long been known that Parkinson's disease affects muscle control and habitual activities, so it affects how patients write and draw. Our technology translates that insight into a reliable assessment tool. The screening test involves the completion of 7 dexterity tasks on a drawing tablet, including simple writing, writing with memory load, and drawing a spiral by joining dots. It creates a patient-specific baseline for the different aspects of complex Parkinson's symptoms. The research team has refined an earlier version of the technology, which had an accuracy rate of 93%, to take into account the effects of medication on the disease. This means it can also be used for monitoring the effectiveness of treatment and the severity of the condition. Parkinson's is a complex, multi-symptom disease with individual patients exhibiting any number of these symptoms, Professor Kumar said. The standard multi-model physical tests carried out by clinicians to monitor its progress inherently carry a level of subjectivity. Our technology is completely objective, and it's highly sensitive for both improvements and deterioration in dexterity. The technology was developed by the RMIT Biomedical Engineering Research Team in the Victorian School of Engineering. Further patient trials are set to start in Australia and China later this year, with the technology expected to be commercially available by 2022. And that article concerned a new technological tool which can spot disease.
You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network.
And Dave, here is another health-type article, this time from the Daily Telegraph of the 2nd of the 2nd, 2020. No prick diabetes test to be made free. Article by Jane Hansen. A device that saves diabetics from testing their blood with the old finger prick will become free for 58,000 type 1 diabetics from today. The device, known as the Freestyle Libra Flash Glucose Monitoring System, is a sensor worn on the back of the upper arm that connects to a reader or mobile phone application, which in turn stores glucose levels day and night to help people to manage their diabetes. Diabetics usually have to rely on pinprick blood tests and strips. Under the federal government's $300 million Continuous Glucose Monitoring, CGM initiative, more people will qualify for the free device, increasing access from 37,000 people to 58,000 with type 1 diabetes. From March 1, 2020, fully subsidised CGM products will be available to children and young people under 21 years of age with type 1 diabetes, as well as children and young people with conditions very similar to type 1 diabetes, such as cystic fibrosis-related diabetes and neonatal diabetes who require insulin. Previously, Australians were paying $92.50 every 2 weeks for the Freestyle Libre Flash glucose monitoring system, or more than $2,400 per year. And that was an article concerning a new diabetes test to make it simpler for people to use.
Thank you for that, Lynn. There would be so many people who are going to benefit from that. I know people, and I'm sure you do.
Yes, I do.
Well, they prick their fingers maybe several times a day, don't they, to test their blood?
It must be very painful and numbing after a period of time.
Thank you for that.
This article is from the Senior newspaper of January 2020, entitled Minister, No Wait for Vast Majority. The level of liquid assets possessed by claimants when applying for welfare payments is on the rise, according to government figures, with some having more than $100,000. In 2008-09, the average liquid assets of people serving the 13-week liquid asset waiting period, LAWP, was about $49,000, while in 2018-19 it was around $63,000, said Social Services Minister Ann Roosten. Last year, 18% of people claiming welfare payments who had to wait the full 13 weeks had liquid assets above $100,000. Ms. Roosten said the vast majority of claimants do not serve a waiting period. In 2018-19, only about 3% of claims assessed for LAWP served a waiting period, she said, adding exemptions are available for people experiencing severe financial hardship because of unreasonable or unavoidable expenditure. The government strongly supports older Australians and has a range of programs and initiatives in place for mature age job seekers, including paying a higher rate of Newstart for single recipients aged 60 and over after 9 continuous months on payment. And that concerns how the amount of liquid assets can affect pensioner eligibility.
Lynn, thanks for that. And I think all us older ones, it's something that does concern us, you know, the pension and the assets. Take it now in Sydney, a house, most are probably worth $1 million, which is going to affect your pension if you're asset rich and cash poor.
Indeed.
Okay, a question for us older ones now, and I guess this could be a lifestyle question, taken from the Senior newspaper in January this year. Helping hands are always welcome. Are you wanting to pack up the caravan and take a break? And, at the same time, help communities recover from the devastation of the summer's bushfires? Well, there's a group called Blaze Aid. B-L-A-Z-E-A-I-D, one word. They currently have 18 camps across 3 states. Willing hands are always appreciated. Volunteers are provided with free camping sites and free meals. The organisation, which emerged from the ashes of the 2009 Black Saturday fires in Victoria, was the brainchild of sheep farmers Kevin and Rhonda Butler. From a small ad in a local paper, the movement has grown to now offering assistance right across Australia. There are camps in Victoria at Bruthen and Lexton. In South Australia, they've got them at Lobethal, Edinburgh and Kangaroo Island. In New South Wales, we've got them at Casino, Wingham, Maxville, Willawarren, Nimboida, Woodenbong, Braidwood, Warhope, Bendemeer, Adelong, Yarrowitch, and Gingellic. Okay, I'd like to find out more about this. I've got a phone number and a website. Firstly, the phone number. I'll say these a couple of times. Firstly, the phone, 0418 530 471. And the website? Simply BlazeAid. Now that's spelled BlazeAid. So it's blazeaid.com.au. You'll find the contacts there for the various camps. So I'll come back in a moment and I'll say that again. The phone number there is 0418 530 471. Or you can go to blazeaid.com.au. Hey, sounds great. If you're a grey nomad or you just want to get out on the road, give them a call. Might see you there. In this program, Optimal Life, if ever you'd like to know more about anything we've presented to you, we'd be only too happy to tell you. Call us on Sydney 02-9518 8811. We keep all our articles and we'd be delighted to hear from you. We're nearly coming to the end of the program now. Just a short one on health. Two. That is how many apples you should munch on each day to keep your cholesterol in check. According to a study in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, apples are packed with fiber and polyphenol compounds. They lower the bad LDLs, low-density lipoprotein cholesterol, in your body and improve your blood vessel health. So I hope you're going to eat your apples every day. Two a day you've got to have?
I haven't been having many. I've been having stone fruit.
Ah,
plums,
that's good
and
too.
Peaches occasionally. I should have more of those too.
Definitely. Stone fruit's pretty good as well. Yeah.
A couple of months.
Well, Lynn, thank you so much. It's time for us to go. Thank you for your mammoth task and effort today.
Thank you very much, Dave. You always have something nice to say.
And it's always very true, Lynn. I hope you have a lovely couple of weeks and we'll hear from you then.
Thank you very much, Dave.
Bye-bye and thanks again. You have been listening to Optimal Life, brought to you by Seniors Rights. They'll help with all things legal, including consumer rights, human rights and elder abuse, financial exploitation, and planning for later life. Any legal questions at all, give them a ring. Their number, 1-800-424-079. That number again, 1-800-424-079. Seniors Rights.